Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 14 in just a moment. We're continuing our Wednesday evening series, Identity, Discovering Who You Really Are. And we have looked at the fact that we are in Christ. We looked last week at the fact that we are saints. Amen. You are a saint, according to what the Word of God says. Amen. And tonight, we're going to look at the fact that you are blessed. Amen. I read the story about a young husband who forgot that he was married. His identity changed and he forgot. Amen. According to the newspaper story, the day after the newlyweds returned from their honeymoon, the husband was 3 hours late getting home from the office. The dinner was burnt. His bride was burning mad, and he had absent-mindedly got in his car and went to his mother's house as he had done so many times before, because he forgot that he was now married. Now, I know I heard y'all chuckle. It's a funny story, but there are a lot of people who are forgetting their identity. They have lost their identity. They're struggling with what psychologist Eric Erickson calls an identity crisis, which he believed was one of the most important conflicts that people face. Erickson said that an identity crisis is a time of intensive exploration of different ways of looking at oneself, questioning your sense of self and your place in the world. And a lack of a strong sense of self is one of the leading factors in the high rates of anxiety and depression, particularly among younger people, that we are seeing in society today. And it is because they don't have a biblical sense of self-identity. They don't know who they were created to be. They don't know that God loves them and that they can have a relationship with Him and that He has a purpose and He has a plan for their life. They don't know that He has uniquely created them according to His divine design to fulfill His calling and purpose, a purpose that only they can fulfill. Our identity can only be found in relationship with the one who made us and loves us beyond our wildest imagination. So if the world has pushed God out of the picture, is it any wonder that they're having such identity crisis that they don't know who they are? They don't even know what gender they are. It's because they don't have a relationship with God, the one who created and designed them and has a purpose for them. So that's the reason that we are doing this series, Identity, Discovering Who You Really Are. And it's really to help believers find their true identity in relationship with Christ, because Satan wants to lie to you and deceive you about who you are, so that you cannot walk in the fullness of life that God has for you or fulfill His purpose for you. And so Satan comes as an identity thief to steal your identity. But God wants us to know who we are in Christ. And we're looking at the book of Ephesians because it reveals to us much about our identity in Christ and how that affects the way that we are living our lives. Reading for the moment Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." You know, as we have been digging into Ephesians 1, we have discovered that if we are saved, we have a new identity. Amen. We find that if we're in Christ, if we have repented of our sins, if we've placed our faith in Jesus, then we are blessed. Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, "I am blessed"? Now turn to your other neighbor and say, "I am blessed." Amen. You know, people love to use the word blessed. We see memes on Facebook and we see t-shirts that say stuff like, "Too blessed to be stressed." You know, or you ask somebody, "How are you doing?" And they're like, "I'm blessed and highly favored of God," you know. And people also on Facebook, you see them posting about their vacation or their new relationship or their new house or their new job, followed by hashtag blessed. I'm not trying to stop people from posting you know, the wonderful things that are happening in their life. I'm not trying to stop people from posting hashtag blessed, but the purpose of this message is to help us understand what it really means to be blessed. Because if we think that it's just when you get a new house or go on a nice vacation, then when things go wrong, then we're going to think, I'm not blessed, right? But when we really understand what it means to be blessed, you realize that you are blessed even in times of hardship, difficulty, loss, sorrow, and sickness. Amen? In fact, the Greek word used in this verse for blessing is eulogia, and it means benefits. And Paul says, God our Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing or with every spiritual benefit in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We have a tendency to think that if we're a good person, if we do good things, if we do what God tells us to do, then he'll bless us more. But Paul says, God has blessed us. And the Greek verb tense there speaks of an action that was completed in the past, but it is presently effective. It is relevant today. It's still in power. It's in force today. It's not that God will give us every spiritual blessing, but that he has already given us every spiritual blessing through Christ. Through his death and resurrection, every spiritual blessing has been made available to us. God has blessed us not because of anything we have done or can do, but because of what Christ has done, what he has already done for us. You know, think of it this way. It's the same as the promise of healing, right? The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. Why does it use the past tense? Because our healing was already purchased on the cross of Calvary. Now it has to be appropriated to our life by faith so that we can walk in our healing. So it was something that was done 2,000 years ago on the cross, but it's still in effect today, and it still has power today to change our lives. That's the same tense that is being used here. He blesses us. Not because of anything that we have done, but because he's a good father and he delights to bless his children. Notice that Paul says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, there's a difference between material blessings and spiritual blessings. Material blessings are earthly and they're temporary. Material blessings, Jesus said, they can be lost, they can be stolen, they can decay. Or he said they can rust. But spiritual blessings, they last forever. Amen? And no one can take them away. Now, don't get me wrong. God does bless us materially as well, right? He promises to provide our needs. He promises to prosper us. And we should be grateful for all of those wonderful material blessings that we receive. But we should be even more grateful for all of his spiritual blessings that are lasting and cannot be lost and they cannot be taken from us. Amen? When we truly understand what it means to be blessed in all circumstances, we can say, I am blessed because I am in Christ. See, all of these spiritual blessings belong to those who are in Christ. That means we're abiding in him. We are walking in faith. We are trusting our lives to him. We have deposited our lives in Christ. Now we need to understand that even those who are not saved, they experience good things, don't they? Matthew 5:45 says that God sends the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to us today in South Florida because, you know, it rains sometimes 2 hours in the afternoon in summer and it's out, you know, and the only thing that it deters is I got to carry an umbrella or am I going to the beach? You know, those are the kind of, but back then it was an agricultural society. So good weather was vital. And there were righteous farmers who served God and unrighteous farmers who lived evil and ungodly lives. But God is so merciful that he causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on both the righteous farmer and on the unrighteous farmer. Or in other words, God is so merciful and loving that he gives good gifts even to those that are not serving him. Isn't that amazing? So what does that mean? Ungodly people can experience career success. Ungodly people can prosper financially. Ungodly people can have nice homes, nice cars, nice families, etc. We see it all the time, right? Because God is merciful, the unsaved can experience a lot of good things, but they can never experience God things. They can experience good things, but they cannot experience God things. That is the exclusive right of those who are saved. Only those who are in Christ will experience God's best, every spiritual blessing. You know, sometimes we make the mistake the psalmist made in Psalm 73. He looked at the righteous and he saw that they were afflicted. He himself was going through difficulty and he was struggling to stand in faith, because he looked at the wicked and he saw the wicked prospering. He saw the wicked living trouble-free lives. He saw the wicked enjoying good health. And in verses 13 and 14 of that psalm, he cries out to God, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain." What he's saying is, did I serve you for naught? Is there no benefit? Is there no advantage to serving you, God? Because look what I'm going through, and I've been faithful to you. And then look at these wicked people, and they seem to have a problem-free life. So what's the deal, God? I mean, none of us would ever ask that question, would we? We're much too spiritual, right? I'm sure some of us have had that very conversation with God. But then the psalmist realizes how foolish his thinking is. And he realizes that the wicked will one day perish and lose all the material blessings of life. And then he remembers his spiritual blessings in verse 26. He says, "My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." Hallelujah. Our relationship with God gives us strength to endure every difficulty. Folks, the unbeliever doesn't have that. When the bottom falls out on their world, they don't have that to fall back on. Amen? And having the strength of God in our life is a spiritual blessing that is ours forever, and nothing can take it away. And it's something that those who do not know God cannot experience. But from a spiritual perspective, the blessings that we have in Christ far exceed and are of much greater value than any amount of material blessings that this world could ever offer. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, when we first opened the church, we grew rapidly. You know, we were, our first service, we had 152 people because we were, you know, reaching out and what have you. And then within a short period of time, we had 200 people within just weeks. And we had rented a small space behind what's now Hook and Reel Restaurant. And it was kind of like L-shaped. And on this back part of the L, we had built out some Sunday school rooms. And because we grew so much in such a short period of time, we had to tear out those walls to expand the sanctuary and rent a small space down here for the children's ministry and the Sunday school and what have you. But the problem was, because the sanctuary was shaped like an L and the platform was in the 90-degree angle of that L, the people on the side where we tore out the Sunday school rooms could not see the verses that were being projected on the wall. And that night when we were setting up on a Saturday for the Sunday services, our worship leader said to me, "Pastor Maria, do you realize that everybody sitting over there is not going to be able to see the words projected on the wall?" And the worship leader said, what we need is one of those screens that comes down out of the ceiling, and we can put it at an angle so that they can see over there. And so I said, I know that's what we need, and it'd be wonderful if we could have it, but we don't have the money for that right now. Remember, we're a new church. We've only been open a few weeks. And so I said, we just got to pray that, you know, God will, you know, provide what we need. So anyway, that Sunday morning, we had our service, and on the way out, all of our young people, they are just, you know, in a frenzy, and they're coming out. They're like, Pastor Maria, do you know who was here this morning? And I'm like, yes, Jesus. And they're like, no. And then they started naming three names, and it was three Miami Dolphins players. And I had seen the guys come in because, you know, they came in, you know, they built, you know, and everything, and two of them had gone to the altar and what have you. So anyway, I connected in my mind who that was. Well, you know, on the way out, they shake my hand and everything, and the last one of them, his name was Mark Clayton. He came over. He was a believer. The other two had just given their heart to Christ in the service. And so Mark came, and he shook my hand, and he said to me, you know, Pastor Rhea, thank you for the service and the message and blah, blah, blah. He goes, but you know, we were sitting on that side of the sanctuary, and he said, are you aware that over there you can't see the songs that are being projected on the wall? And I apologized, and I told him, yeah, I'm very, very sorry. He goes, do you know what you need? He said, you need one of those screens that comes down out of the ceiling, you know, and you can put it at an angle. And I said, yeah, we do need that, and we pray that God will give it to us, you know. He reached into his back pocket, took out a checkbook, signed a blank check, handed it to me, and said, go and get one this week and have it installed before next week. Isn't that God? Amen. But what I want to say is this. My name on a check would not have been enough to get that screen. But a Miami Dolphins name by Mark Clayton, signing on that check, had the resources that we needed to buy that screen. Amen. Every spiritual blessing deposited in the bank of heaven is an account with the name of Jesus Christ on it. Hallelujah. If I go to heaven's bank in my name, I have no right, I have no legal claim to any of it. But when we unite our lives with Christ through faith, he gives us the privilege of going to the bank of heaven with his name on the check. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. My name has no authority. My name has no right. But the name of Jesus gives me access to the bank of heaven. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. You see, without his name, these blessings are cut off from us. But in Christ's name, every spiritual blessing is mine. It's already mine. I just have to appropriate it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. The second principle we see here is I am blessed because I am set apart as his. I'm set apart as his. Verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God chose us for his very own. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you remember playing sports in school. You know, whether they're playing kickball or softball or whatever it is, and the teacher would appoint two team captains. And each of those team captains would then have to pick their team, you know, one after the other. You get a turn, you get a turn, you get a turn. So they have to pick their teams from the rest of the students. I hated it because I was very studious, but I was not very athletic. And so guess what? I usually got picked last, in which case you weren't really chosen. They just got stuck with you. They didn't have a choice, and you didn't have a choice. And they didn't really want you because they knew you weren't going to be a benefit to them on the team. Amen? But isn't it wonderful to know that God chose you? Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that God appoints some people to be saved and some people to be lost, as some teach. No, it means that God loved us so much that he made the first move towards us. In 1 John 4:10, John puts it this way. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What is John saying? Saying, God made the first move to have a relationship with you. And that move was sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. That's how much God wants you. Hallelujah. God first loved us. He made the first move. He initiated towards us. It was the same thing in the Garden of Eden, right? After Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? Adam and Eve ran and hid. God came down and he came looking for them in the garden. They weren't looking for him. He came looking for them. God made the first move. And then he made a covering for their nakedness from an animal skin. That was the very first sacrifice. And it was a symbol of the sacrifice of Jesus, who would be a covering or atonement. The word atone means to cover. Jesus would be the atonement or the covering for our sins. God gave his son for us to cover our sins. And God comes looking for us by the Holy Spirit. Do you know we can't come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws us? But God comes by the Holy Spirit, and he begins to deal with our heart and convict us of our sin and convict us of what true righteousness is in Jesus Christ and convict us of judgment to draw us unto God. God initiates. God makes the first move to have a relationship with us. Of course, ultimately, we have a choice to respond or reject God's love for us. But 1 John 4:19 said, we could never have loved him except he first loved us. What a blessing to know that no matter what happens in your life, even if people fail you, and they will, even some of the closest people to us in life may fail us, even if people leave you, even if people hurt you, even if people reject you, God loves you with an unfailing love. And he has chosen you to be his very own. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. And God sets us apart as his. Not only do we belong to him, not as a possession, but as we saw last week, as one who is connected through love in a personal relationship with him. That's what it means to belong to God. But we have been set apart for his purpose to bring glory to his name. Apart from Christ, so many people go through life with no sense of purpose. They're just adrift, moving along by circumstances, random circumstances. And because they have no sense of purpose, they lack meaning. They lack fulfillment, and they lack joy. When we go through a trial or difficulty, they have no framework within which to understand it. Because they can, since they have no purpose and they don't understand God's purpose for them, they can see no purpose in their trial or difficulty. We know, as believers, that when we go through trials, God is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. See, we can see our trials through a different lens because of the purpose of God in our life. But when unbelievers go through trial, they don't have that framework, so they can't understand their trial. So they often become confused. They may become angry. They may become bitter. They may become disillusioned with life. They may even become despairing and sometimes even take their life tragically. One mental health website says that a lack of purpose can be a major contributing factor to depression and anxiety, leaving people feeling empty. This is a secular website, mental health website. But when we are in Christ, we have the incredible blessing of being set apart for God's purpose. God has a purpose for our lives, amen? And that purpose ultimately is to bring glory to his name. And knowing our purpose in Christ motivates us, it inspires us, it strengthens us, and it helps us to find meaning even in life's difficulties. I am blessed because I am set apart for God's purpose. You are blessed because you have been set apart for God's purpose. Thirdly, I'm blessed because I have been adopted as a child of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Hallelujah. I was just watching a segment on one of those morning shows about adoption and how this family adopted two daughters because they couldn't have their own kids, and how they've celebrated it from the very beginning and told their children that they were adopted, and they've made a little book for them about their journey, and they celebrate every year, not just the kid's birthday, but they celebrate their gotcha day, amen? And there's so much joy as they were talking about this. Even in the kids, there was so much joy about having been chosen to be a part of that family. Amen. And the moment we get saved, we become a part of God's family. He has chosen us to be a part of his family. The moment you accept Christ, you are adopted as a child of the King. Now, in Paul's day, according to Roman law, an adopted child was legally given all the same rights and privileges of a natural-born child. There was no difference at all. That's why the Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Are you getting that in your spirit? When God adopts a child, there is no difference in their legal rights of inheritance and privilege as a natural child. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. And a unique element of Roman adoption law in that day is that when a child was adopted, their old life was completely wiped away. The baggage of their old family and life was essentially erased, and they had a new identity as the member of a new family. And adoption is a beautiful picture of the gospel. If we have been saved, our past has been erased. We are no longer the old person that we used to be. We are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. We have been brought into relationship with God as his sons and daughters. And we are not second-rate children. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And that means that through our connection with Christ, we receive all the rights and privileges as if we were Christ himself. Woo! That's powerful. We have a new identity. We have a new authority. We have a new inheritance. And that's because all that is Christ's is now ours, because we have been adopted as a child of God. Our identity as a child of God does not change when circumstances change. I read the story of a 40-year-old woman who shared that her parents died when she was just a small child, and she ended up being raised in an orphanage. She longed for a forever home, and she was excited when, as a child, she was told that a family was coming to take her home, that they wanted to adopt her. And the matron of the orphanage told her to remember, it's a trial period. They want to adopt you, but this is a trial period. So she was excited. She went home with them. She started attending school, and she was overjoyed to finally have a family. But after 6 months, she came home from school one day, and there was nobody there. And in front of the door was her tattered suitcase. She soon realized that it meant they didn't want her anymore. She didn't belong there anymore. They were sending her back to the orphanage. By this time, as she was telling her testimony, there wasn't a dry eye in the group where she was sharing. But she cleared her throat, regained her composure, and said, this happened to me 7 times before the age of 13. But wait, she said, don't feel too badly for me. It was experiences like these that ultimately brought me to God. And there I found what I had always longed for, a place, a sense of belonging, a forever family. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God has adopted us as his very own sons and daughters. And according to Roman law in Paul's day, adoption was permanent. Once a child was adopted, his parents could not disown him. God loves you. He is your forever father. You can reject him and you can walk away from him, but he will always love you. Even if you choose to walk through the gates of hell, you will do so with God loving you. And like the prodigal's father, God stands waiting when we have walked away. He stands waiting. He stands watching to welcome us back home the moment we turn. Repent and return to him. To be his child means that I can completely trust him and count on him to be there for me through all of life's circumstances. We sang it earlier, right? There is nothing that can separate us from his love. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Fourthly, I am blessed because I am aware of God's will. I am aware of God's will. Verses 9 and 10. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Folks, guess what? We're waiting for that right time. Because there's coming a time, and I believe it's soon, when Jesus Christ is going to return. Amen? And everything is going to be brought under his dominion, under his authority. But what God is telling us here is that as believers, we have insider information on what God is doing in the world. Paul says that because we are in Christ, God has revealed to us the mystery of his will. And Paul uses that word mystery 5 times in the book of Ephesians, and it speaks of that which was hidden but has now been made known to us. And it's not something that can just be known through our own human reason or logic, but it is something that has been revealed to us supernaturally by the Spirit. Through Jesus, God's plans and will have been made known to us. He tells us not only how we can escape the wrath that is about to come upon the world and how we can escape the eternity of hell and live with him in heaven, but that we can experience God's very best here on earth now as we walk out our faith. He tells us how we can take action now to join together with God by taking our part in God's unfolding plan in this world. So we live for a higher purpose. We live for an eternal purpose. Without that higher purpose, life can be a whole lot like a hamster on a hamster wheel. Have you ever watched a hamster on a hamster wheel? He gets on there, expends a whole lot of energy, but he's not going anywhere, right? And it just, after a while, you feel futile. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you rush about to get this done and that done, you go to sleep, you get up in the morning, and it can feel like you're on that hamster wheel. But when you know that you are living for a higher purpose, when you know that there is a greater reason for your existence, amen, it fills your life with meaning, it fills your life with joy, it fills your life with satisfaction, hallelujah. I wish we had more time because there's so many more blessings. But as I close, I want to share a story about an old Navajo Indian who had become rich because oil had been discovered on his property. And he took all the money and he put it in the bank. But he didn't deposit it in the bank. He put it in one of those safety deposit boxes. Thank you. So his banker, after time, became familiar with the habits of this old gentleman. Every once in a while, this Navajo Indian guy would show up and say to the banker, "Grass all gone, sheep all sick, water holes all dry." The banker wouldn't say a word. He knew what needed to be done. He'd bring the old man inside the safety deposit vault. He would give him a seat. He'd bring out his box, take out several stacks of money, and say, "These are yours. They belong to you." And the old man would spend about an hour in that safety deposit vault just looking at his stacks of money. Then he'd put it away, and he'd come out and say, "Okay, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes all full." And he would leave. He was simply reviewing his resources, reminding himself of all that was his. And that's where he found encouragement to carry on despite whatever trials he may be facing. Folks, Ephesians is a storehouse of the treasured blessings that are ours in Christ. And when we are discouraged, when we feel downcast, when we're going through difficulty, we should come back repeatedly to Ephesians and just sit down and remind ourselves, these are all mine. All of these blessings belong to me. Because as we stare into our blessings, we will find encouragement that will undergird our faith as we are reminded that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. They're ours. They belong to us in Christ Jesus. And today, as we close, whatever you're going through, let us pray, Lord, help me to see that I am truly blessed, no matter what my circumstances are. And help me to appropriate all of these spiritual blessings to my life through faith. Bow your heads with me, and you just have a conversation with God right now, would you? Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for everything that you have done for us through Jesus. We thank you for every spiritual blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus. We thank you today that we can say, I am blessed. We thank you today that we can say, I am set apart. You have chosen me. I belong to you. You have a purpose for my life. We thank you today that we can say, the mystery of your will has been made known to us, and you have an eternal purpose and plan that you are working out, and you have a unique part for us to play in those plans, and that gives our life meaning, purpose, and joy. Father, I pray that we would be regularly reminded of who we are in Christ and all of the spiritual blessings that are ours, so that no matter what we're going through, our heart can be encouraged and our faith can be strengthened. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, New Life. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Saturday is Saturate Saturday, and of course, we'll see you in church on Sunday. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.